to Mr. Softy, that's a no-no.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The European Union has spoken. This morning it slapped a $1.3 billion fine against Microsoft. The EU says Microsoft charged companies too much to work with its dominant Windows operating system. It's the first time the EU has imposed such a fine in an antitrust matter. Just last week, Microsoft said it would let competitors peek behind the curtain of some of its software for free. It's been almost 19 years since the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and after a series of appeals, the case finally makes its way to the Supreme Court today. Exxon says it's already spent more than $3 billion to clean up the spill. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler says 33,000 plaintiffs disagree.
Exxon's legal team has already managed to cut punitive damages in half, reducing the penalty to $2.5 billion. But Exxon doesn't even want to pay that. Company lawyers are expected to cite the Clean Water Act, which doesn't allow punitive damages. Robert Dillon is a correspondent with Oil Daily. He expects Exxon will also invoke an old piracy law that says a ship's owner is not liable for the actions of its crew.
What was originally a law passed to protect ship owners who might have pirateers on their ships is now being used by the largest oil company in the U.S. to protect a captain who allegedly got drunk and left his post.
The herring industry has never recovered. Tim Joyce, the mayor of Cordova, Alaska, says fishermen who had invested in expensive permits before the spill have been left high and dry.
That was their retirement. They had that value and that was their equity, if you will. And that's gone away. They don't have that anymore.
The Supreme Court's decision is not expected before late spring. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow finished the day up 114 to 12,684. The Nasdaq closed up 17 to 2344. And the S&P closed up 10 to 1381. We'll see how markets react when new home sales figures for the month are released later this morning. They're forecast to clock in at a 13-year low. Meanwhile, oil hit $102 a barrel for the first time in intraday trading today, and the euro hit its own record against the dollar at $1.51. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke heads up to Capitol Hill today. He'll be delivering a scheduled economic report to Congress, and many will be watching for signals of more interest rate cuts ahead. But even with the cuts we've had since September, Americans are actually seeing higher rates on their mortgages. Jeremy Hobson reports.
Don't be surprised if you hear the word conundrum today. In Alan Greenspan's last year on the job, he used that word to describe this problem. The Fed was raising interest rates, but rates for long-term bonds and mortgages were staying low. Now Ben Bernanke has the opposite problem. The Fed is cutting, but long-term mortgage rates are going up. Princeton economist Alan Blinder says here's why.
Lenders are much more fearful of default, and that sort of fear will always drive up any interest rate.
In fact, the average rate for a 30-year mortgage cracked 6% last week. That means, on average, an extra $100 per month for a $300,000 mortgage. Blinder says that's proof the Fed is not getting bang for the buck when it lowers the federal funds rate.
If it could rule the world, it would create a world where every time it lowered its interest rate, all the interest rates, including mortgages, fell. That's by no means the world it's living in.
In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Here's a pop quiz for you. The elements of a healthy breakfast include A, a glass of orange juice, B, a bowl of oatmeal, or C, toast and Nutella. A British ad for the famous spread claimed that hazelnut and chocolate could be part of a balanced diet. I've always thought so. But consumer watchdogs disagreed. The BBC reports the ad, which aired in Britain, is being pulled.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Middle East Reporting is supported by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org.
A delegation from the U.S. Treasury Department met recently with a couple of the world's largest sovereign wealth funds. They want to avoid a political firestorm as more and more foreign investment makes its way into the U.S. economy. Marketplace commentator Robert Reich says these investments from abroad are nothing more than bailouts.
Over the past 30 years, the U.S. government has dismantled the system of regulation intended to prevent the sort of wild speculation that preceded the financial meltdown of the Great Depression. Now we're witnessing another financial meltdown, also fueled by speculation, hopefully not as serious. Yet instead of regulating banks and other financial institutions, the response this time is for government to own them. Just last week, the British government decided to take over the troubled mortgage lender Northern Rock. This was after the Bank of England was forced to give the firm emergency funding to avoid a run on the bank. Well, you might say that's Europe. They've been nationalizing companies for years. But the same trend is happening in the United States. The difference is here, it's governments from Asia and the Middle East that are doing the owning. Singapore recently paid $4.4 billion for an ownership stake in Merrill Lynch. The Chinese bought a $5 billion piece of Morgan Stanley. As their balance sheets continue to weaken, America's big financial houses are getting bailed out by selling out. It's only logical. American banks need the cash, and oil-producing and East Asian governments have it. Yet there's no end in sight for the credit crisis, and Middle Eastern and East Asian sovereign wealth funds are in the process of owning a larger and larger portion of the global banking system. These funds are growing by more than $1 trillion a year, and at this rate, they'll be the global banking system. The problem is, governments are lousy at deciding where profits can be found. They're liable to make decisions based on politics rather than profits. So it's the biggest irony in financial history. Decades of U.S. government deregulation of Wall Street has reaped a whirlwind of irresponsible speculation, ending in a financial meltdown that's being remedied by government ownership, with all the strings that come with it. And it's not even our government that's holding the strings.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is Super Capitalism. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.